I want to talk to you today about prayer, and particularly about the practices of prayer. The readings today, in particular the first reading from the book of Exodus, gives us six important teachings or practices about prayer. And if we can begin to learn to be taught by these six teachings or practices, our prayer life can be increased and strengthened. The title of the message is today, I Can Go to God in Prayer. No matter what the problem, I can go to God in prayer. And so it is that we need to get right to work, because there are 6 points to make. And you know your pastor. I could go on about 1 point. All right. The first thing I want you to notice, we're going to be reading out of Exodus in the 17th chapter, the story of Moses in the battle against the Amalekites. And the text here begins, and the first, if you will, teaching on prayer or practice of prayer is the problem for prayer. The problem for prayer. The text simply says, in those days, Amalek came and waged war against Israel. That's a problem, amen? When you're out there in the wilderness, trying to get to the promised land, and someone with an army steps in front of you and decides, we're going to kill you right here. Moses has a problem on his hands. Are you praying with me? Anyone bring some problems today? You know, you may not have a nation going to war against you, but you may have a family member. you may be struggling with some demons in your life. You may be struggling with some discouragement. Maybe it's still looking for work. Maybe it's about paying some bills. Maybe it's about health. Perhaps it's just about a struggle that you're having with sin or with addiction or whatever it might be. We've all got some problems in our life. Amen? We've got some struggles. We've got some demons and principalities and powers in the high places who are waging war against us. And so it is that we've come to God's house today, who has told us that no war waged against us is going to prosper. But we need to pray, church. And there's just something about problems that gets us praying. It gets us praying. We're going to see that Moses' first response to the problem here is to summon his leaders and to call them to prayer. We're going to see that in just a moment. But I just want you to notice there's just something about problems. Why does the Lord permit problems in our life? Well, I'm just going to say it to my own shame, that he permits problems in my life because if it wasn't for some problems, I might not be humble enough. I might be full of pride, and if it wasn't for problems in my life, I might not be praying like I ought to pray. There's just something about problems that keeps you praying. And the worst thing in life is pride. And the worst thing in life is to think that I can go on for hours or days without talking to God. God just sometimes says, let me let a few problems in there, because, man, if these folks of mine don't have a few problems, they'll never talk to me. They'll never pray. It shouldn't be that way, amen? But God knows how we're made. And God knows in our fallen nature that we're stubborn. And sometimes the only way that He'll get any of our attention if he allows or permits some of our struggles. I tell you, church, I don't know where I'd be today if the Lord had not humbled me through some of my troubles, if the Lord had not summoned me to get on my knees and say, Lord, I need you in my life. Where would I be today? I'd be proud. I'd be arrogant. I would not be talking to God. I'd be thinking, I said thinking, that I could pull it all off on my own. Talk about illusion, amen? Do you have a rocket ship that's powerful enough to get you to heaven? Do you have a ladder that's tall enough? And do you have the strength to climb there? All of us, church, I said all of us, need God. And all of us need to be praying and praying more. And sometimes the Lord says, I'm going to let a few problems in your life. And one of the things those problems do is it keeps you praying. So we see, first of all, the problem for prayer. Amalek came and waged war against Israel. Now, the next thing that happens, not only the problem for prayer, but the priority of prayer. The priority. Moses, therefore, said to Joshua, pick out certain men tomorrow and You're going to go out and you're going to engage Amalek in battle. Now I will be standing on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. And it says here next, so Joshua did as Moses had told him. He engaged Amalek in battle after Moses had climbed to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. Joshua did not go out on campaign until he knew Moses was praying. Prayer comes first. First. Too many people use prayer as a rear guard action. All of a sudden, things are messed up and confused. And if we had just prayed in the first place, God might have said, I never even told you to do it. And there you are in the midst of all kinds of crazy decisions you've made, and things are a mess, and now you come to me. See? The Lord says prayer has priority. Prayer is first. When you have decisions to make, are you praying? Are you taking the Word of God and studying it and praying it and allowing it to transform you? Do you have a praying spirit? Too many of us rush into serious decisions and we don't even pray. Church, some folks choose a career and they don't even ask God. Some folks decide to move or to buy a big house or God knows, any number of things, and they don't even ask God. Well, church, some folks even come to the rectory parlor and say, we want to get married. And I tell them, did you ask God? And they look at me and they're like, what do you mean ask God? We're in love. Well, church, anyone here ever been in love? Come on now. That is not enough. That is not enough when it comes to marriage. I've been in love and I've been out of love. Ask God before you make decisions and allow prayer to precede every major event in your life. Now, the first major event in your life is getting up in the morning. So the first thing you ought to do is just get up and say, the first thing I need to do is say, good morning, Lord. Now, some of us need a cup of coffee first, amen? Come on. I drink coffee for your protection. But I have my first cup of coffee in the morning with the Lord, and I talk to him a little bit, and I go say Mass, and then I come back and spend another hour praying. But that's a luxury for me as a priest. But I hope that the first thing you do every morning is you get up and you say, God, I'm going to need you today. I am going to need you. You know that old saying that says, Lord, I want to thank you because I haven't sassed anyone today. I did not lie. I did not cheat. I did not steal today. Lord, I haven't done anything really all that sinful today. But Lord, I'm about to get out of bed now and I'm going to need you for the rest of the day. All right? We need to learn to pray because the day may have snares and traps for us. And we need to have a praying spirit before we start our day. And not only that, church, but I hope that any major event in your life, you're spending some time really praying. And I know that we don't hear the voice of God like out of a plaster through the plaster ceiling saying, yes, take the job. Prayer's a little more complicated than that, but I really hope that you have a praying spirit when it comes to making serious changes in your life, serious things that might affect your finances or affect your family, and instead of running off, you know, just doing things without even asking God. Are you praying about those things? And say, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, give me some sign. Give me a sense of peace about it or a sense of joy. But Lord, help me to learn to listen to you and to ask you before I make important decisions. And the third thing I want to say to you about having prayer being a priority, I hope that you note that the scripture today from 2 Timothy teaches us that our prayer ought to be, among other things, very biblically based. I hope you have learned to pray the scriptures every day. I know a lot of you in this parish have a book that, you know, The Word Among Us or some other book, Daily Bread, and you take Scripture every day and you read some Scripture and you meditate and you pray out of it. Now, that's a good idea because, you see, that gives you and me a new mind. We begin to think differently. We begin to have different priorities and our heart begins to change and we begin to see more as God sees and to love as God loves and to have God's priorities. And the text today said, look, it says, all Scripture is inspired, that is to say, breathed forth by God. It is useful for teaching, refutation, correction, and training in righteousness. Oh, church, if we're not reading Scripture every day, we are ill-equipped. We are ill-equipped. Stay close to God's Word. It says here that the one who is dedicated to Scripture, it says that they may become competent and equipped for every good work. Church, we've got decisions to make. We've got a work to do. And I don't know about you, but I want to be equipped. I do not want to go into any work or job having not prayed and having not been formed by the very Word of God, by praying the Scriptures. I didn't just say read it. I said pray it. Read it meditatively. Allow it to really begin to take our hearts of stone and make them real hearts full of love. To take our thick skulls and fill our minds with God's thinking and God's wisdom. Are you praying with me? Prayer has got to have priority in our life. Joshua did not engage Amalek in battle until he knew that his prayer partner Moses was praying. Are you praying with me? Some of us in this parish are walking these streets and we're knocking on doors. But we don't go out of that door until we know there's some folks in the chapel start praying for us. Amen? Prayer is essential and it is to have priority. So we see then the problem for prayer and the priority of prayer. Next we see the power of prayer. It says here that as long as Moses kept his hands raised up, Israel had the better of the fight. But when he let his hands rest, Amalek had the better of the fight. Do you see the power of prayer? And do you see how essential prayer is? As long as Moses was praying, Israel was doing fine. But when Moses, out of fatigue or distraction or whatever it was, lowered his hands, things started to go badly. Church, are you praying? Do you know how important, how powerful, how essential, how necessary it is for you to pray? Not just for yourself, but for this old sin-soaked, hell-bound world? Church, there's a lot of stuff going on, and we better be praying. And if we're not praying, how much worse off it gets. It's so easy for us to watch the news, and we'll see anything on that news. Political corruption. We'll see the lowering of moral standards. We'll see problems in politics. We'll see maybe someone's house burned down. We'll see any number of things. And I ask you, it's so easy for us to just say, what's wrong with this world? This whole world's going to heck. Well, why is the world going to heck? If one of the reasons might be because some of us aren't praying. And why hasn't this world been destroyed by a nuclear annihilation by now? I got news for you. I'll tell you why. Someone's been praying. If this world could be so much better if we were all praying, and it would be so much worse if some of us weren't praying. Prayer has power. Prayer is powerful. It changes things. Someone say, prayer changes things. And if we don't pray, we're not going to change things. I'm just telling you right now, Moses, when he was praying, Amalek was being defeated. When he lowered his hands, Amalek had the better of the battle. I'm telling you, church, you got to pray. Don't simply say something's wrong with the world and not look at your own prayer life. We've got to pray. We have got to pray. Do you know the power of prayer? Now, I realize, and we're going to conclude on this in a moment, sometimes the power of prayer is hidden from us. We don't always see its full effect. But I want you to know something. All I know is that the Scriptures tell me that prayer is powerful and that prayer changes things. We may not always see the things it's changing. We may not always experience its full power here. But one day in heaven, By and by, we're going to tell the story of how we've overcome, and we are going to understand prayer's power better by and by. One of the joys of heaven is we're going to see just what a difference our prayer made. Right now, a lot of that is hidden. But right now, church, I want you to know God is teaching us that our prayer makes a huge difference. Don't give up praying. When Moses began to become fatigued and he stopped praying, things got bad real fast. Don't give up praying. I want to return to this idea of heaven in a moment and how we'll see what our prayer did, but just know this now. Your prayer is powerful. It makes a powerful difference. Now, there are two buildings of prominence on East Capitol Street. One of them is at the end of the street. It's called the U.S. Capitol. That's a building of some prominence, amen? But it is the second most important building on East Capitol Street. The first and most important building on East Capitol Street is right here. You're in it right now. Right here. Because the only way that something good can come out of that building at the other end of East Capitol, if something good is happening right here, it's called prayer, it's called praise, it's called allowing the Word of God to change us and transform us. It's called this house of prayer is what equips, empowers, and enables anything good to come out of that other building at the end of the street. You are in the most important building on East Capitol Street because prayer is powerful, and prayer changes things. And if we pray, things go well. If we do not pray, things do not go well. This is the most important building on East Capitol Street. Now, not only is there the problem for prayer and the priority for prayer and the power of prayer, but I want you to next notice the partnership of prayer. It says here that Moses' hands had grown tired, and so they put a rock in place for him to sit. And meanwhile, Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Oh, church, prayer is so important. I said it is so important that Moses had to get someone to help him. We can't let prayer simply depend on us. How many of you know you get tired? We get fatigued. We get discouraged or distracted. Do not allow something as important as prayer to simply depend on you alone. Make sure you got some prayer partners in your life. Make sure you got some spiritual friends. Make sure you got someone who can help you through the difficult times. But make sure you're not praying alone. Prayer is too important to make it depend on you alone. And so it is that Moses knows he's struggling. He knows that whenever he lowers his hands out of weakness, whenever he lowers his hands out of distraction, whenever he lowered his hands, things started to go badly. He says, what I'm doing is too important to have it all depend on me. Aaron and Hur, come pray with me. Would you come pray with me? Lift up your hands with my hands and pray with me. Oh, church, do you have prayer partners? How many of you got some stuff you're praying about? It's serious stuff, amen? It's serious. And it's too easy for us to oversleep or be distracted or forget to pray, and just make sure you get on that prayer line and get on that line and talk to your friends. There are some women in this parish who every morning have a conference call. They get on the phone and they pray together. They pray together. That's a good model, amen? They might oversleep if they tried to pray alone, or they might forget, or they might have a day where they're just feeling a little low. So they get on the phone together and they pray together. Church, I hope you have some prayer partners. And not only that, that you're praying maybe for someone else's intention or for your own intention, but I also hope you have some spiritual friends in your life who will speak the truth to you in love. Who will speak the truth to you in love and help you through difficult times, and you can help them in difficult times. And I hope you got some good spiritual friends. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good morals. But on the other hand, then, if we can reason with Scripture, that good company improves our life. Amen? It helps us to be more holy and more righteous. So it is that I hope you have good spiritual friends. You know, the other day I was feeling a little down about something. And it's nothing for you to be concerned about. I just had something on my mind. And I just said to myself, I ain't doing this alone. I got on the phone and called a couple friends and talked to some folks here at the parish and got together later in the day on Thursday with some priest buddies of mine and told them my struggle and my concern about something. And I just said, oh, Charlie, there you go again. There you go again. See? They encouraged me. They instructed me and reminded me of God's goodness and the place of the cross in our life. And I felt strengthened. I felt strengthened by those folks that reached out to help me. Church, I hope you've got some good spiritual friends in life, because it's hard to walk alone. Somebody say amen. It is hard to walk alone. The Bible says that communal prayer has a particular power about it. It's one thing to pray alone, but the scripture says that in Matthew 18, the Lord says, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. And the same scripture says that wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Don't try to just pray alone. It's good to have personal prayer, but I hope you also have some prayer partners and some good spiritual friends. The scripture also says in Ecclesiastes in chapter 4, it says here simply, woe to the solitary man, for if he should fall, he has no one to lift him up. Where a lone man may be overcome, two together can resist. A three-ply cord is not easily broken. Now there's some wisdom. I hope you are not making your spiritual journey alone. So we've seen the problem for prayer. We've seen the priority of prayer. We've seen the power of prayer, and we've seen the necessary partnership that goes with prayer. The next thing I want you to see is the persistence of prayer. The text says that Moses' hands remained steady until sunset. When should you stop praying? Not till sunset. I don't mean tonight's sunset. I mean the sunset of your life. You pray to the very day you die. Do not ever stop praying. Pray, 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 pray. I do not know why it is that sometimes God requires of us that we persist and ask Him more than once. God, I asked you once. Shouldn't that be enough? God is just teaching us today that we got to be like this widow in the gospel. We got to persist. We've got to pester Him. I don't know why He tells us to do it. I'm just telling you He does. There is a mystery to the apparent delay at times of God. It sounds like He's not listening. He's listening, but He's telling us that we have to keep praying until sunset. We have to keep on praying. Do not give up. There is a widow in the gospel today, and she went to this, in the story that Jesus tells, she kept going to the judge, and the judge was like, go away, old woman. Go away. Leave me alone, old woman. And the woman, she said, I demand justice from you against my opponent. You're a judge. I demand justice. Go away, old woman. Go away. Finally, the judge says to himself, oy vey. If I do not render for this woman, she will continue to pester me and end up by giving me a black eye. That's literally what the Greek text says. Pow, right in the eye. So the Lord is saying it has to be like that sometimes. If it's that way with an unjust judge who will finally give the woman just because of her pestering, how much more so with God? He may seem to delay. You may wonder. You may not understand why He's not answering right away. Keep praying. Do not lose heart. Pester God if you have to, but keep praying until sunset. And you may not even see the answer that others will see. You know, I have welcomed people into this church, and the person who prayed them into this church died 10, 15, 20 years before that. They prayed and prayed and prayed right to the sunset of their life. They prayed, and finally, 30 years after that person died, a knock on the rectory door. Father, I need to talk to you about getting right with God. 30 years after they were passed. Church, I don't know why there is delay. I just know God says, don't stop praying. Keep praying. praying. The devil wants you to be discouraged. The devil says, just give up. It doesn't do any good. The devil says, yield to your anger and just say, God, I'm not talking to you anymore. The devil wants you to stop praying. And God is simply saying, pray, pray, pray. But I'm getting discouraged, Lord. Pray on anyway. But Lord, I'm getting angry now because I need it now. Pray on anyway. But Lord, I don't understand. The need is urgent. It has to happen now. Pray on anyway. Pray, pray, pray. And when you stop praying, pray some more. Pray till sunset. St. Monica prayed 30 years for Augustine. And she did live to see him come into the church. Some other folks have prayed and they've died. But later on, the fruit of that prayer had its effect. Just keep praying. Do not lose heart. So we've seen then the problem for prayer, the priority of prayer, the power of prayer, the partnership of prayer, the persistence of prayer, and finally, the product of prayer. Church, I want you to know something. Prayer has a product. Prayer changes things. Now, careful here. Today's gospel, we see that Moses is praying for victory over the Amalekites. And he gets it. Praise God. How many of you know that prayer has power? And if you have not, because you ask not, right? So prayer has a power. But you know, even when we don't get everything exactly the way we want it, when we want it, in the quantity and the color that we want it, God is still answering our prayer. Church, do you know that no is an answer? Prayer has a product. One of the teachings on prayer is that prayer is not so much how to get God to do our will, but prayer is more about coming to understand God's will and having peace and serenity in doing it. But in the end, church, I want you to know that prayer changes things. It has a product. The world is changed and moved and transformed by your prayer. But you see, what sometimes happens is that we decide what the product has to be. All right, Lord, here's my agenda, my 5-point plan for whatever the situation. Now, Lord, here's what I want you to do. Here's the 5 points, and I want you to initial next to each point and then sign at the bottom. Now, church, sometimes God says, no. The answer is no. Sometimes God says, well, yes, but I want to change a few of the details. Sometimes the Lord says, yes, but not today and not tomorrow, but on the third day you'll rise. The Lord, we have to understand that the Lord does not always simply follow our agenda, but the Lord answers our prayers. And church, sometimes no is the best answer. And you say, but wait a minute, it has to be yes. This is something I really need. I understand, but sometimes no is the best answer. Some of you know that old country song, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. And the song goes on to talk about a guy who was dating a girl back in high school, and she was the one. And he was going to marry her and be happy forever, and then something happened, and God said no. And then 30 years later, he met her in a bar and said, "Woo!" And she looked at him, and he looked at her and said, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. How many of you ever had that happen in your life? You knew that at point A, you had to have it, and at point B, you said, I'm glad I never got it. Praise God. There is a product to prayer. Prayer changes things. It may not always change them in exactly the way you want or I want. But in the end, God has a plan, and God is going to work it out for us. Church, sometimes God just says, wait. Why he makes us wait, that's a mystery. Maybe he's testing us. Maybe he's growing our faith. Maybe it's just that some other things need to be in place so that third parties don't get hurt before I get what I want, because it's all about what I want. Sometimes God says, it's not just about what you want. There are other people in the mix, and I have to work it out for everybody. Are you praying with me? But I want you to know something, church. Prayer has a product. And I want you to know we're going to go to heaven one day if we're all faithful to God. And when we get to heaven, we're going to tell the story of how we've overcome. And we're going to understand all these things better by and by. And it's going to be wonderful. I'm going to say, wow, even my distracted prayers, my imperfect prayers, what a difference my prayer made for the world. Praise God. And I'm going to come up to all of you in heaven and say, I am so glad you prayed for me. I now see what an incredible difference your prayers made for me. I'm going to come up to you and personally thank all of you in heaven for praying for me. And I hope that if I've prayed for you, and I have, that you'll be able to see what a difference my prayer made and thank me. Church, it's going to be joyful in heaven because we're going to see finally what prayer really did. What an incredible product it really had. Right now, much of that is hidden from us. We don't always know what a difference our prayer has made. But I just know this, God does, and He's going to show it to us one day. Oh, church, makes no difference what the problem. I can go to God in prayer. Church, it's a beautiful old song, too, that comes to mind. And again, I just want to thank you for your prayers for me. And the full effect of your prayers is not fully visible to me now. I don't fully see all the effects that your prayer has for me. But I know this. I just want to say thank you, Lord, because somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. Oh, I'm so glad they prayed. I say, I'm so glad they prayed for me. Church, it's going to be wonderful. Just keep praying. Don't lose heart. Because, church, there are problems, but there are prayers that those problems generate. And prayer should have priority in our life. And prayer has a power. And prayer needs partnership. And prayer needs to be persistent. Because in the end, prayer has a product. It is just too important not to pray. There is too much depending on us. Pray every day and don't lose heart. And just keep telling God, I'm so glad. I am so glad that somebody prayed for me. Amen. Amen.